This is Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Renee Montaigne. The sagging U.S. economy is forcing some people to turn inward and reevaluate their careers. Author Poe Bronson argues that we've lost faith in the stock market, the internet, our leaders, and institutions. He interviewed more than 900 people over 2 years for his new book, What Should I Do With My Life? Poe Bronson introduces us to four people who have weighed that life-changing decision.
Of all the people looking for their purpose, I met only three who had an old-fashioned epiphany where a voice or a blinding light was involved.
As I was walking around Peñasco Blanco, suddenly I heard, "This was your home." And it stopped me in my tracks. I just stopped because I knew that voice was coming from some other place. It wasn't just my mind thinking. And I kind of started a debate with him about where I should be.
Debbie Bryant had taken a year off from her sales job in San Antonio, and on this day was hiking in New Mexico among the historic pueblos of the Anasazi people.
And then I heard this voice again say, "Isn't it clear?" And I kind of got into this debate saying, "No, it's not clear. I'm happy in San Antonio. I feel very connected to New Mexico, though. Shouldn't I be here?" And there was no answer. And then after a while, the voice came again and said, "I'll handle it." And this wasn't a gentle, angelic voice. This was a stern taskmaster voice. And then it was gone.
Did he handle it or did you handle it?
He said, "I'll handle it." And I thought, well, okay. But I always knew that I had a responsibility. I didn't think I could just sit back and not search for the right place or the right activity to dedicate my life to.
And that search took a while. For a couple years, she was tempted back into sales, where she was as miserable as ever. Then she learned about an opening at the Nature Conservancy of Texas and was hired as the director of marketing and philanthropy.
I feel like I found a place that I could happily work until I retire, and I've never felt that way about any other job that I've had.
The thing is, Debbie's epiphany didn't suddenly instill her with a desire to preserve land. She always had that desire, but ignored it, at least professionally. And in my research for the book, I found most people harbor private notions of a better way to live.
I used to tell the people that I worked with, you know, if this is what practicing law is all about, I'd rather drive a truck.
Rick Olson was a 38-year-old entertainment lawyer in Pittsburgh who was too busy to give his 6-year-old son Patrick his undivided attention.
It was difficult to figure out how to just walk away from it. I'm sure everybody's been in that situation where they've had something that they wanted to do and they've not been able to figure out how to do it. And you just get that balled up feeling in your stomach and you're looking for something to make it possible.
We assume it's in good times, when opportunity is aplenty, that people change their lives. I found the opposite to be true. It's hard times that force people to overcome their doubts.
I was playing hockey one night and took a left-hand turn where I should have taken a right-hand turn and hit the boards and sheared my heel off, shattered my ankle, and broke both leg bones. And next thing I knew, I was in the hospital with the doctor telling me I had 8 months to figure out what I wanted to do with my life, because it was going to be that long before I could, you know, get up on my feet, get out of the house.
During those 8 months, Patrick came over from his mom's often. Father and son painted walls, laid tile, and leveled their sloped side yard. When Rick was ready to work again, he knew that his time with Patrick had to be like this.
Playing in the dirt with the kid, for lack of a better way to put it, I realized that I enjoyed being out in the open, getting some fresh air, moving around. Needless to say, a lot of my friends were either A, amused, or B, mortified when I told them I was giving up law to go drive around the country.
Rick would never say being a trucker was his purpose in life. Rather, being a trucker allowed him to fulfill his real purpose as a father to Patrick.
You park the truck, take the key out of the ignition, and you're done. You don't think about it until it's time to go back. You know, he knew that when I got out of the truck and I came and picked him up, he'd have me completely. 5 years ago, I don't think I would have believed that that was possible.
Being a trucker sounds fun, you know, for a while. But what then? It seems that almost everyone I interviewed struggles with this life direction question more than once.
This is about as good a cotton land right across that field as there is anywhere in the Delta.
A decade ago, Don Lynn's conscience balked when his New York investment banking firm pushed leverage buyouts on companies that didn't need them. So he quit to raise catfish and cotton on 8,000 acres in Mississippi.
When I got there, I literally discovered that I didn't realize whether you planted a seed on top of the row or in the middle of the rows.
What's been its effect on your character and how you see the world?
Not to cast aspersions on the ethics of all investment bankers, but it's a pretty cutthroat business. You eat what you kill, basically. On the other hand, farmers are famous for organizing into co-ops to do things like gin their cotton or process their grain or catfish. You know, the effect that it's had on me has been a very, I don't want to say mellowing, but a very much more appreciation of working together to get things accomplished rather than being in a fist fight all day, every day.
Don expected to be here the rest of his life, but last summer he had to sell the farm for tax reasons. Several months later, when a new door hadn't opened, I suggested he run a book distributor in Minnesota that needed a new owner. Don didn't know much about books, but he'd proven his moral character. And in an era of Enrons and WorldComs, what company today couldn't benefit from a dose of that? So he swapped fish for books.
It gives me the opportunity to sort of practice my vocation, which is business, and my favorite avocation, which is reading in books. I'm thoroughly enjoying it and expect to for a long time.
Lila D'Souza's problem is not a lack of courage to take risks. Rather, she's struggling to accept the more pedestrian terms set by real life. Right out of high school, she was a principal ballerina with the renowned Hubbard Street Dance Company in Chicago, and she imprinted on that rush of performing for a packed opera house.
That's such an incredible feeling, and I was looking for a job to give me that feeling. There was a sense that this great next Hubbard Street-type job in the working world would come because I was accumulating the University of Chicago, Stanford MBA, McKinsey, White House Fellow thing. Well, it's not there. I've definitely felt a level of anxiety and depression I've never had before in my life, ever.
She's been out of work for a year.
I can't just keep looking around for that perfect job that's going to make me happy. That's too outside myself. I think there is a middle ground to how long a human being can do this and search, because I think you end up searching for something that's not out there, and you have to realize you have to select something and inside make it work for you.
So, guided more by hope than experience, Lila committed to biotech's mission of saving lives and got a job at Genentech. She'll help market a drug used to treat lymphoma.
I do think you should choose things that really matter, and this is an incredible drug to work on. So I'm holding my breath. I hope it'll be great, and I'm really excited about it.
What unites these four people is they're looking inward for affirmation.
I reached a point somewhere along the way where it was about appreciating myself and my family and things that were less dependent on others' approval, and it's a much more peaceful place to be.
Despite all the talk about embracing change in the late 90s, most people still crave a place where they can be content, grow roots a little, make an impact. The guiding voice almost never comes from outside us, as it did with Debbie. It comes from within, as a faint whisper. I found what keeps us from listening to that voice is the din of our fears, barking and growling and scaring us away. Taming these fears frees people to follow that whisper. For NPR News, I'm Poe Bronson in San Francisco.
Poe Bronson's new book is What Should I Do With My Life? A chapter from his book is at npr.org.